edition of the comment program. We get to visit with our favorite police chief, Dana Miller, here. And Chief, how are things going today?
Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, where's your green at?
Well, it's slightly hidden. I kind of forgot. I'll admit. And, you know, I'm actually really, really Irish, and I can hardly believe that I forgot my national holiday. So, sorry to the Murphy family, I've let you down.
Yeah, no, well, hopefully they're not listening right now.
No kidding.
Anyway, why we wear green is to keep the leprechauns away. Kim found that out the other day. We had that on the good stuff. Is green is supposed to keep the leprechauns away.
I'll be darned.
Who knew? But then leprechauns are supposed to bring good luck, aren't they?
Well, I could just use the pot of gold. That would be what I'd like to have.
Well, I hope they find a pot of gold on Main Street during the construction in there somewhere. But it certainly got things in a uproar here for the first week, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It is certainly going to create a certain level of patience that has never existed before in the citizens of Valentine.
Well, I watch the traffic from the window here in my little peephole. The traffic that usually can go right across 3rd Street all the way across town. And now that 3rd Street intersection is closed off for the time being, till probably July or something like that. So now it's kind of like they go up, can't go there. They turn around and go back the other way. So we just want to encourage people to pay attention to those direction signs and kind of avoid that area so there's not any fender benders and
right.
stuff.
Right. You know, we're having quite a bit of trouble at the intersection of 3rd and Cherry with people. And I don't know why. It's even the citizens of Valentine, but they're just blowing through the intersection. And that's not different. It's been a four-way stop for quite a while now, but we've had some serious near misses with children, particularly at the school let out time or in the morning, that they've nearly gotten hit. So we just need people to really pay attention, slow it down. The kids are adjusting to the new changes as well. And I really encourage parents to have a conversation with their children that it's really a bad idea to walk through the middle of a construction zone going to and fro. You might even have to take your kiddos and show them a different route to make sure that they can avoid that. Yesterday I got a call saying that a kid took their bike and launched it out into the construction zone and could have been seriously hurt. So it's just really important to have those conversations with your kids and make sure that we get through this whole construction project without anybody getting hurt.
I know there's been quite a few people that have gone downtown on the sidewalks and watched what was going on. Kind of, it's right now anyway, it's still new and it's fun, and it's like, oh, wow, this is kind of cool to watch this big equipment. But those guys operating that big equipment can't watch everything all at one time. So if kids are running back and forth across there, I know they told us that the 3rd Street crosswalks are closed, and so go to 2nd Street. So that's one route that they can get to and go around there. But anyway, yeah, if all the way from 4th and 3rd are closed off, 1st and 2nd are open. But anyway, just need to kind of be aware of the construction area down there. Any other problems that you're seeing as far as law enforcement goes or traffic flow problems with the construction?
Yes, we Highway 20 in Cherry is also a new adventure. It's got the stoplights there. The stoplights are, to most of us in our own opinions, a little bit long. Where you have to sit there. Don't get impatient and just go on through. I'm sure there is a reason why they are set at the time they are set. We have had numerous people stop and then just blow through it, or we've had individuals just flat out fly through it without stopping at all. So it's important to recognize that there is a change at that intersection. You are going to have to follow the stoplights. And we're all going to get through this. It's going to be a 2-year adjustment, but we're going to get her figured out.
I almost went through that Cherry Street and the highway when I stopped, because there's always been a stop sign there. And so I stopped, and then I thought, oh, wait a minute, I can't go because the light is still red. So don't
right.
do that.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to take a little bit of adjustment in there. But if everybody's patient and cautious, we'll get through all of that. So last night at the Valentine City Council meeting, you guys had, like last month, you gave your annual report. And this month you were back to talk about the potential of a drug dog. And it sounds like that the city council is willing to move forward on that issue with some more information to be coming.
Right. They offered a very encouraging challenge for us to come back with some different information regarding potential pledges, if anyone would like to support that project. And we also had to look into the insurance and what that could potentially cost the city. in regards to two different possibilities. One of the dogs would be a single-purpose dog, meaning that that dog would be a drug-sniffing canine. The other possibility is a dog that is dual-purpose. It does not only seek out the drugs, but it also has the potential of, they call it a bite dog, but what it is the dog essentially has the possibility of going after an individual if it's a felony type stop, somebody with a weapon, that kind of thing. And the dog would bite, but it doesn't maul you. It just latches on and holds until law enforcement can get up there and safely detain that individual. So there's two different angles. We're going to look at what the insurance differences would be for those different options. They just really were encouraging that is the direction they want us to move and try to obtain a dog. Now, whether that happens this fiscal session or the next is yet to be determined, but those discussions will probably take place at the next city council meeting.
It would be nice to have your sixth officer on duty before you have to send Officer Armisher would be the one that I think would be the handler, and so before you'd have to send them off for a few weeks of training and such.
Yeah, it is a huge commitment time-wise. The officer actually has to go away and have a two-week training session with the dog, getting used to the dog, different commands, that kind of thing, recognizing what signals the dog gives when they alert on drugs. And then, of course, you went with the dog that does the bite dog. There's a different set of training for that. So when Officer Armisher lands back in Valentine after all of that, then he would have a national certification. The state of Nebraska does require a state certification, which is through the Nebraska State Patrol, and that's an additional potential of 10 weeks training. So It is a humongous commitment, but I think it'd be well worth it.
And this is the third drug dog, potential drug dog that Valentine's had. I think they had two before, right?
We did. We had Boss and we had Ranger.
Okay. And it's not cheap. I think Brandon said last night it could cost like $25,000 to get the dog, to get him trained, the dog trained, all of those kind of things. And so any of those donations that people wanted to offset the cost of that. So what's the need as far as, that's one thing I hear from people is, Brandon showed some data last night. Were there 160 drug-related offenses or arrests in Valentine last
year?
We're
kind of seeing a scary trend is what I'm going to say. Virtually, I'm going to say 50 to 75% of the contacts that we have with traffic stops, there is some form of narcotic coming out of that
really?
Seized, whether it's marijuana, whether it's meth. We are seeing a bigger trend of moving towards methamphetamine. We just had an opportunity to meet with the Attorney General, the FBI, the DEA, and it was a great opportunity to discuss the trends in methamphetamine distribution and what we can do to work together to try to make a dent. You know, of course, everything is supply and demand, and the demand is not going away ever for narcotics. And it's our job is just to try to make our town a safer place to live and play. And that, of course, is the Valentine Police Department's goal is to participate in that effort to seize the drugs. So It's going to be a neat deal to have the dog. You know, at the end of the day, when you look at the statistics, what difference is there between having a narcotic detection dog and not? Statistically speaking, with the Valentine Police Department, there is not much of a difference. What the dog does for the community is make it so people that are transporting narcotics, they very much would like to bypass Valentine because they do not want to have an encounter with a dog that can sniff out the dope and they could go to jail. So,
and apparently they know which towns have drug dogs.
Yes. I don't know if they got like a website that's
it's on that wave,
narcotics.com. I'm not sure, but they do seem to get that figured out fairly quickly.
So anyway, so that's still going to be in the works, and whether it's this year or 2023 possibly to work that into the budget, into the training sessions, and all of those kind of things. So you mentioned about last week, I think Attorney General Doug Peterson was here. He visited with the Rotary Club, and that was when they did a special program out at Mid Plains, I believe. It looked like there were a lot of vehicles there of people. I don't know if that was public or other law enforcement agencies talking about methamphetamine. So what did you learn during that?
Well, it did involve a lot of agencies, and what we took away from that is the ability to know who to contact, who can help us in a lot of different areas. We talked about the fact that methamphetamine is really increasing. We did discuss the fact that fentanyl is in our area, and if you look at there's a governmental overdose site. If you take a look at that, we do have a cluster of overdoses that are really near to our community. Fentanyl is here. Fentanyl is being mixed in with methamphetamine. It's being mixed in with marijuana. It can be made into pills that look just exactly like your oxycodone. And it's just it's a scary drug. It is a legally prescribed drug in certain forms, but what's being used is clearly causing some train wrecks. Florida just had a case where there were multiple overdoses in a single event, and it's just people are just, I don't know if it's so unaware or the addiction is just so strong that they just really are not adhering to the warnings.
I think during your annual report, which I still have a copy of, you had some information about fentanyl, that how little it takes, which amazed me. That, I mean, just a little scrape of it is enough to get high, and more than that can kill you.
Can kill you instantaneously, yes. You know, and the cases of somebody killing over immediately upon ingestion is kind of a TV kind of phenomenon. But in reality, it can take a couple minutes to 30 minutes for that to affect you. And we do have Narcan, which Narcan can reverse the effects for a little bit. It gives us time to get them up to the hospital to address that in a more medical setting. But sometimes even what we carry is not enough to reverse the effects. Mm. And they can go into cardiac arrest and stop breathing. And eventually, if we don't get them the help and we don't get there in time, it is not a positive outcome.
So those are kind of some of part of the things your officers all have to have training on is handling those types of situations as these things arrive.
Narcan.
I was trying to think what Narcan is, but anyway, it's probably an acronym for something. But anyway, so Narcan out there, they know how to administer that, but dealing with the victims of that, I guess, is something you guys got to train on too.
We do. Yep, we work. There's actually a program to get us trained to do that. It is fairly simple. We have basically it's a tube, and you push the plunger, and it goes up their nose. And what it does is it takes those opioid receptors in your brain, and it kind of kicks that drug off of those receptors for a while. But depending on the level of concentration in their body, it may not last very long. So that's why you got to
have a short window.
You better light a fire and get the EMS there and get them up to the hospital.
Oh, wow. So let's talk about some other items here. You reported a couple of stolen cars this last week. And again, they were cars with keys.
Yes. Oh, my lands. Please take your keys out of your car and lock it up. If it's cold outside and you're leaving it running, please figure out how to do that and keep it locked. For some reason, we're having a little string of stolen property out of unlocked cars. We, of course, are having stolen vehicles. And it just, summer's a-coming, and there's just a lot of foot traffic. You have absolutely got to lock your property up. And I wish I could say that it was Mayberry, but darn it, it's not.
Now, you recovered both the vehicles this week, didn't you?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
Not. There is a 2004 Chevy Trailblazer with a license plate that I suddenly can't remember that is still missing. The red pickup we did recover. The Cherry County Sheriff's Office did an outstanding job of getting that rounded up. There was an arrest made in that case. So Please, please, please take care of your properties, because sometimes we are unable to recover those things.
We had this happen. You'd let us know about a couple of them, two or three of them a week, in a week's time, a month ago, whatever that was, during that cold snap or something where people had left them running in front of a store or something like that. So who typically are you finding takes them? If you find a suspect or whatever, who's driving off with those?
You know, what we're finding is that it's kind of early 20s, mid-20s, and it seems to be males mostly. A lot of times they're just wanting to catch a ride home. But there is a market for stolen vehicles. There is a market for your car parts. There's certainly a market for your catalytic converters. I did learn an interesting thing about catalytic converters. They are converting the guts of a catalytic converter, grinding it up, and making it's, I don't think you pronounce it Bombay, but I'm not sure. And they're snorting that stuff.
What?
Gives you a little buzz.
I thought that was like asbestos or something.
Pretty sure it does not do your health well. So, a multi-purpose device, apparently. So,
holy cow.
Yeah, so it's just simpler if you lock things up, and then we don't have to deal with all this nonsense.
Yeah, put it in the garage if you got a garage, and make sure they're locked up and safely there. So that's a pretty easy way to prevent that, is keep them locked, keep things out of sight. Don't leave your purse or your other valuables in plain sight in your vehicle.
And the other thing I encourage you to do, and this is going to come out fairly sarcastic, is that if you have some type of theft emergency, I encourage you to don't wait 8 hours to call us. It does make it a little challenge to be behind the eight ball. It's just important for you to call right away.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the best thing, is the sooner the better. Time is of the essence, as they say. All right. So, we're almost at spring. That means we now have to have a national night out. Have you given any thought to that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't want you to miss, though, the very important women's self-defense class.
Oh, well, yeah.
You got
the women's self-defense class. You've got the coffee with a cop coming up.
I know. We're just going to be busy.
Just social butterflies.
The women's self-defense class is April 20th. It's going to be at 6 o'clock out at Mid Plains Community College. It's probably appropriate for middle school on up. I do talk a lot about a lot of things, and I'm fairly blunt about it. So if you would like your elementary age student to participate, give me a call first so we can have a conversation about that. So,
Okay. Again,
that is April 20th at 6 o'clock at Mid Plains.
It's and free, right?
Of course it's free. I'm happy to whoop up on you. So. and then we have coffee with a cop over at the Cherry Street Plaza, and that is
the 31st, I think, was it?
And I believe it's at, 10 to 11:30. Come on over, and I'd be happy to show you my elk.
You got your elk over there?
My elk is there, yes, and I will tell you the story. I'll tell everyone the story. So it's a great opportunity to come and have a conversation with us. Constructive criticism is welcome. We prefer that you don't just yell at us, but we definitely would love to have you come and visit with us and scope out the Cherry Street Plaza and all of the businesses that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
It is a neat place.
It's got it. Yeah, they with the remodel in there and everything, they've got quite a few businesses and other things that are the Sand Hills Area Foundation offices and all of that are in there as well. So sounds like you're going to be busy, and summer will be kicking off here. Kids are getting antsy to get out of school. We have a 70-degree day, and they kind of go nuts, right?
Yes, they do. You know, the other thing we're doing is every year we do the advanced biology class, Siobhan Adams' class. We do a crime scene Valentine's CSI program, and that is coming up next week. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, we're gonna have a wild and crazy crime scene for them to solve, and it's a great opportunity for the kiddos to get introduced to law enforcement and the different aspects of law enforcement. It's not just the cop wearing the badge and the gun. There is so much more to law enforcement, the forensics, the computers. It's a great opportunity to have that discussion.
It'd be nice to have some young people that are looking into the criminology field and come back to Valentine is we have officers like, you know, Jamin's been here a long time.
Forever.
Yeah. Well, not forever.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, 16 years. Yeah,
close. He's almost local. Another 4 years or so we can consider Jamin as
true,
local.
True.
You know, Jasmine has been around here for a long time. Brandon has been on the officer now.
They've been here for 6 years, both of them.
Have they?
So,
okay.
Yes.
And then you've got Ryan.
Ryan, yeah. He's,
and yourself. And that's it, right?
Yeah.
Five of you.
Yeah. We could use another one.
So if anybody is interested in a position, they contact you?
Yes. They could send me their resume and cover letter. We'd love to have a conversation about that possibility. You do have to be 21, and have to not be a law violator. No felonies, please.
No felonies.
Yeah.
Misdemeanors, speeding tickets, or stop sign violations.
We can work with that, yes.
Chronic stop sign violators might not be.
And we prefer somebody that, of course, absolutely has the best interest of Valentine and the citizens. And we would love for you to have a conversation. Come do a ride-along, and we can visit about that.
All right. Well, Dana, anything else that we need to cover? Again, lock your cars, avoid the construction, and don't do drugs.
Amen.
Is that kind
that,
of...
That is the theme for today.
We
yes,
could have done that in 30 seconds right
I
off
know.
The bat.
We're talkers.
Well, we appreciate you coming in and all the Valentine Police Department does to protect our community and serve our community because you're out there 24/7 keeping an eye on things for us. So thank you and your officers for being there.
Well, I appreciate that. Again, as always, if you see something, say something. Give us a call at 402-376-3055, and it's an emergency. Please call 911.
All right. We've been visiting with Valentine Police Chief Dana Miller. Here on the comment program, we have a little bit more to cover.